good to be back with you all this weekend after being absent last weekend for the profession of Brother Gregory Fontenot, Sean Fontenot, in Texas. I think I left you all in good hands with Monsignor Mallet, who was here last week. But last weekend was very beautiful, a beautiful ceremony where Brother Gregory made his first profession of vows in the Carmelite order at the Carmelite Monastery, the Carmelite Hermits in Cristobal, Texas. We had a good number of our church parish who were there, along with members of Sean, of Brother Gregory's family, who came from Ville Platte, Lake Charles, Eunice, and friends of his from his time in the seminary. Brother Gregory looks very happy. He was very happy, looks good, and is doing very well. He asked me to give you all his thanks. He is certainly very grateful for all of our parish's prayerful support. So please continue to pray for Brother Gregory, the other monks at his monastery, and for all of those who are in formation for the religious life and those who are studying for the priesthood as well. The darkness of the winter weather, such as we experienced this past weekend, has oftentimes been used as a metaphor, as a description of life in countries where people experience tyranny of government. And see, these places are in a winter. The tyranny of an overbearing and overreaching government can cause that, along with a dismal economy, joblessness, corruption, crime, faithlessness, and sin. These cold, dark, wintry places are places where God is not welcome and human freedoms are cut short. There are some who believe that perhaps we may be in store for a winter for the next 4 years in our own nation. Certainly, a winter like that can make life, as Job described it, a drudgery. We have no reason to really enjoy life. We work, but we work like slaves, so a longing for comfort and relief. People work long, hard hours for low wages. They find that time seems to drag on with no hope for relief. Life seems to be empty and joyless. And certainly, there are people who seek to make life that way for others. And that can be true if, and only if, we as Christians allow that to happen. It's true that maybe we can't change all the external circumstances in which we find ourselves, but we can change how we react to those circumstances. And if enough of us do that, we can change the circumstances themselves. It's no secret that many of the movers and shakers in our world, people from the halls of government to the finance world to the entertainment industry, many of these movers and shakers, as I said, are practical pagans. What do I mean by that? Practical pagans. That means they may have been baptized. They may even say that they're Christians. Some have said, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic. But their words, their actions, their lifestyles are anything but Christian. That's what I mean by a practical pagan. Paganism, that is, godlessness, life without the one true God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is dark. If you look at the history of ancient peoples who didn't know Christ, it's a very dark, brutal, and violent history that they have. It's dark and cold, like winter. And the pagan is, in the words of the late Cardinal Jean Danielou, not just ignorant. Okay, the pagan is not merely ignorant of the gospel. He or she is actually darkened and oppressed by the active powers of darkness. That is, the powers of the darkness in hell. Everything that they say, everything that they do apart from Christ and his light is influenced by, and in many ways inspired by, the devil himself. So the human nature of these persons not fully given to Christ, remain imprisoned by Satan. The human nature of such persons remains imprisoned by Satan. And thus, what do you have? All you have are people who lie and cheat, people who steal and kill. These people can bring no joy. They can bring no unity. They can bring no peace. Oh, they find pleasure, but that pleasure is short-lived. They're filled with filth and perversion and rot and can do nothing that is truly good. Can that change? It can, but only by us who have received the light of Christ, the faith of Christ, and the will to do what is right and what is good. The power of prayer is unbelievable. as is the power of action. That is why St. Paul says, the preaching of the gospel is not a reason for us to boast. It's not a reason for us to elevate ourselves. In fact, the preaching of the gospel, quite simply, is an obligation. It's an obligation imposed on every one of us. We are here to counteract the darkness. We are here to end practical paganism by living the fullness of the Christian life. Our prayers, our words, our actions, everything about us must be inspired by the gospel. And as St. Paul says, woe to us. Woe to us if we do not preach it. Woe to us if we do not pray for it. Jesus said in the gospel, let us go. Let us go to the nearby villages that I may preach the gospel there. I may preach there also. And for that purpose, I have come. Same thing with us. Jesus sends us out to the nearby villages, so to speak, to our families, our friends, our co-workers, any place that we find ourselves, that we too can preach the gospel. It is for this purpose that he sends us. It's for this purpose which you and I bear his name, the name of Christian. And Jesus did that. He went about to where the people were, even their houses of worship in the marketplaces. He was preaching and driving demons from the whole of Galilee. And so he sends us to where the people are. As I just mentioned, among our family relationships, workplaces, schools, even places where we shop. All these places where we find ourselves, we must live the gospel by our attitudes and our way of life, and when necessary, by our words of encouragement to people to come back to the Lord. Notice how in Christ's own time, the demons were causing illnesses and possessing people's bodies. They were causing sadness and they were destroying hope. But Christ came to get rid of all that. He came to cure illnesses, to banish demons, to bring about joy, and to give hope back to us. Christ Jesus destroys the powers of darkness, and he heals those who have broken hearts because of sin. Christ our God is mighty in power, and to his wisdom there is absolutely no limit. Jesus lifts up the humble, but he will always cast down the wicked and the arrogant. But Jesus has made us, his body, his church, to be a light, to be a light to the nations. That is, to carry his light everywhere. The light of faith, the light of hope, the light of love. And I think we'd all agree, there is certainly a sore need for us in modern times to take the message of the gospel to a world that has indeed grown cold and dark, a world that is indeed weak and weary. So, like Jesus, we cannot be lazy. We can't be lazy. It's time for us to wake from our own sleep, the sleep of apathy, the sleep of carelessness, the sleep of just not caring at all. We have to get ourselves up early if necessary, give ourselves completely to prayer, read the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, be nourished by His teaching. We must be washed clean of sin and strengthened by the grace of the sacraments of penance and Eucharist. God is calling. God is calling every one of us to make use of every opportunity to spread Christ's message everywhere. You ask, how? How do I do that? Well, let's reflect on a few questions. Are you honest with God? Are you honest with yourself in your life of faith? Are you going to Mass out of love or going to Mass out of obligation? Are you receiving the sacraments worthily and have a solid prayer life in constant communication with the Father? Are you being a good and faithful husband, a good and faithful wife? As a parent, are you teaching your children by your words and by your example to follow the commandments, taking them to Mass and praying together as a family? Do you treat your neighbor, your co-workers, your classmates, whoever you might be with, do you treat them honestly and fairly, with respect and with dignity? Are you encouraging other people in your family, among your friends, to better practice their faith, to develop a closer relationship with Christ? Sometimes we think, well, no, I'd be kind of embarrassed to do that, but brothers and sisters, we can't be. We cannot be ashamed to do this. Jesus warns us that if we're ashamed of him before others, He'll be ashamed of us before God the Father. And that's not good. That's not good. We have an obligation to bring God's light, God's truth, God's love into every situation that we find ourselves. Christ is sending us out to heal the wounds, moral, social, and spiritual sickness, to cast out the demons of darkness and despair, the demons of unbelief, to meet people where they are and to bring them to the Lord. And we do all this so that they and we, that the entire world, can be enlightened by the brightness of Christ's own light, and that we bring him the warmth of his grace. Made sharers in his wisdom and love, may all the world, by our compassion, by our preaching, by our love, may all the world come to sing the praises of Christ, who has come to banish darkness and bring us to the light of everlasting life.